It's time for Comic Review Weekly, produced by Jackrabbit Studios in association with GravyBoy.com. Now here's your host, Andy Slott.
Hello there, comic book fans. Welcome to episode 36 of Comic Review Weekly, the podcast where you get the lowdown on comic books, hosted by me, Andy Slott. Comic Review Weekly is brought to you by the creative minds at Jackrabbit Studios, home of Gravy Boy, the comic for folks who like a little hero in their heroes. Check it out at www.gravyboy.com. It's great to have you here. It's my goal to get you to try out a few new titles that you may not have otherwise considered, or possibly to save you a few dollars by helping you avoid a really bad comic book. So, what's on the agenda this week? For one thing, we're going to take a look at the events of DC Comics' One Year Later Green Lantern title and Cobb Off the Leash Issue 2. Months ago, Green Lantern fans eagerly awaited issue number 10 of this series, as it was the beginning of Hal Jordan's adventures after the One Year Later jump that affected most of the titles in the DC Universe. We wanted to see where writer Geoff Johns was going to take this hero with a huge black mark on his record. So, where is Hal Jordan taking us, as readers? Frankly, I couldn't really tell you. As of this writing, issue 12 is available, part 3 of the Revenge of the Green Lantern story arc, and all I know is that the cyborg Superman is somehow involved with the resurrection of Hal's former teammates on the Green Lantern Corps. This arc is written by Geoff Johns with artwork from Ivan Rice and Auclair Albert, if I pronounced that correctly. For those that may not know, Hal Jordan was one of the finest officers in a universe-spanning galactic law enforcement force. However, when a malevolent cybernetic being posing as Superman destroyed his home, Coast City, Hal went rather nuts. He gave into his darker urges for revenge, and in doing so, allowed an ancient fear demon named Parallax to control his mind. Parallax, using Hal's body and thirst for revenge, went on a rampage, killing off the entire Green Lantern Corps and their leaders, the mysterious Guardians of the Galaxy. Eventually, Hal recovered and is now attempting to atone for his crimes, taking on his former role as a Lantern. In Hal's private life, he is a test air pilot at Ferris Air Base. In issue number 10, he and two other comrades are being awarded medals for their bravery under the capture of terrorists. A few months earlier, while flying over enemy territory, the three of them became prisoners. How they escaped from this is unknown at present, but now Hal Jordan is readjusting to normal life, or as normal as life gets for a Green Lantern of his magnitude. Apparently Hal is a playa now, too. In issue number 10, he sleeps with someone and forgets her name when she leaves in the morning. I'm not sure exactly what this character trait has to do with anything, but okay, there you go. We'll just keep going with it. Anyway, it seems that Green Lantern is getting into international trouble for his activities in other countries. This time, he's getting in trouble with Russia, where he tracks down an alien who has come to Earth to collect the bounty that somebody has put out on Hal Jordan. We don't know yet who is behind this, but Hal's activities overseas have caught the attention of an international group of heroes called the Global Guardians. The Global Guardians are planning to rein in the Green Lantern, but this plot will not be developed until later issues. As if this wasn't enough, a ship crashes on Earth with the body of one of Hal's former colleagues in the Green Lantern Corps, one whom he killed when he became Parallax. In issue 11, this mystery sends him to Oa, where he and fellow Lantern Guy Gardner trace their comrade's flight path to a dark corner of the universe, where the Green Lanterns have no jurisdiction. Namely, Sector 3601, the home of the Manhunters. Against the Guardians' warning, that's the Guardians of the Galaxy, the leaders of the Corps, not the Global Guardians I mentioned earlier, Hal and Guy venture into this dark territory to see how the former dead Lantern survived, and who else might be there. What they find is an army of Manhunters waiting for them. The Manhunters are guarding something, it seems, and drawing their power from the energy of other Green Lanterns, also formerly thought to be dead by Parallax's wrath. And the man behind it all is the malevolent cyborg version of Superman. In issue 12, it still doesn't take us much further. Hal is held captive by the cyborg and the Manhunters, having his power battery drained. And under their power, he relives many of his darkest days as Parallax. He eventually breaks free and revives the other Fallen Lanterns, who immediately turn on him because the past few years for them haven't even happened yet. After briefly fighting Hal and the other Lanterns, they realize he is not the villain that he was, and a King Kong-sized Manhunter shows up, powered by Guy Gardner. Almost at the end of this arc, and I really just don't understand what is happening. Why is Cyborg involved in all of this? Why does Hal Jordan have a bounty on his head? How did all the Lanterns wind up here? If any of these questions were answered, then I totally missed it. It just seems that there's too much going on here to have a coherent plot. I know that writer Jeff Johns is setting up future plot points, but it just seems like overkill. Let's try and get interested in Hal first, in the supporting characters of this title. Give us a reason to care about is what I'm trying to say. Give us a reason to care about him. Also, it relies heavily on major continuity points from over a decade ago. It was fine when the series was just starting out, showing a reborn Hal Jordan moving ahead and putting his past behind him. But now, we're just headed back to the old Parallax saga. Are we ever going to get past that with this character? As far as the artwork goes, Ivan Rice delivers the goods on pencils. Some really nice breakdowns of the action are to be found here. Against stories like this, the Showcase Presents Green Lantern Tales from John Broom and Gil Kane are quite enjoyable and memorable. Revenge of the Green Lanterns, however, just can't get it together. I give it 2 out of 5 stars. Next up, I want to briefly talk about issue number 2 of Cobb Off the Leash, put out by IDW Publishing from writer Beau Smith and penciler-inker Eduardo Barreto. As you may know from the last issue, I thoroughly enjoy this book. It's a refreshing jolt of storytelling that, in my opinion, is lacking from much of today's comic book choices. So, what can I say about this issue? Action, action, action. Action. It's an action sandwich, an action souffle, and a big bowl of action gumbo served up hot for your reading pleasure. After Surge's Russian mafia goons traced the alluring informer Nikita back to Jack Murphy's investigation business, Frank Cobb is ready. While Nikita and Murphy's granddaughter Molly hide, Murphy and Cobb take the gang on. Cobb evens the odds quickly, turning a cocky armed gang into a frightened rabble. It's truly a beautiful thing to behold, thanks to the perfect pairing of Smith and Barreto's skills. We also get more insight into the mafia leader Surge's personality and viewpoints. He hates dealing with Islamic extremists who buy his weapons, yet is amused by them as well. Although Cobb and Murphy kick a lot of ass, Molly still manages to get kidnapped by what is left over of the gang. Fleeing the investigation office, the gang takes Molly back to Surge's headquarters to hold her hostage. Meanwhile, as a beaten gang recounts the toughness of the American bone crusher Cobb, Surge gives a call to someone named Cossack, who I'm guessing is gonna be the big tough guy on the Russian side, that we'll see next issue. Hoo boy! Yes, indeed, I had a good time reading this. Beau Smith and Eduardo Barreto are two names that I will definitely keep an eye out for from now on. The way that the action scenes are handled is pretty much perfection as far as sequential art goes. It's not just a bunch of random shots of bodies flying around or impossible movements, but as true to life as you can get. Eagerly, I await the third installment of Cobb Off the Leash. It gets a solid 4 out of 5 stars. That's all we have for today, folks. Thanks again for listening to Comic Review Weekly. You can email me your comments and suggestions to andy@gravyboy.com. If you have anything in mind that you would like to hear reviewed on the show, please let us know. Also, if you want to put yourself on the map, put yourself on our map. Comic Review Weekly has an online map that listeners can show which geographic region they are located in. It's just a neat way for us to see where our listeners come from. Check that out at www.frapper.com/comicreviewweekly, one word. Until next time, this is Andy Slaughter wishing all of you a fulfilling comic book reading experience.